Simon Park's Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easier for us to collect. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and we are now live. This is the 17th of the 7th, 2016. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, it's 11 a.m. Pacific, and 7 p.m. in the U of K. And your host tonight, Simon Parks.
Hello, JP. It won't be UK for much longer, though, will it?
No. I don't know what it would be. You know, the disunited queendom president. I don't know.
I have to take the blue out of the flag.
How about the British Republic?
Oh, that's a bit strong.
Yeah. Imagine having a really proper republic, you know, like Utopia Republic. Anyway, we've had such an intense week. We've lost a brother, we've moved around, everybody I feel has shifted, onto a deeper level, a deeper plane, greater honesty. We've been seeing, exposures of things and layers are coming off. So Simon Parks, good evening.
Good evening to you, JP. What a lovely sunny day it is.
Is it? It's been a bit grey here, to be honest, but it is Scotland and it's always grey. It's always grey. This is summer, you know, what do you expect? You know, in the winter we have cold fog and in the summer we have this thing called the Har, which when the water gets on the forests and the steam comes up, it all drifts down to the sea and then it pours back up onto the land.
We call that a fret. In Northeast England.
A fret. Yep. Don't fret, pet. So it's mist all round, you know. Here we are in the mist of Scotland.
Mist of time. Yeah. Well, I suppose I better get cracking, hadn't I?
Let's get cracking. Do you have any announcements, sir?
Oh, I've got a few. First of all, domestic stuff. I did a conference today in Acne, where I used to live. And that was at Passing Clouds, and that was organised by Kerry Cassidy. So drove there first thing this morning, just about made it on time, 11 o'clock kickoff. So did that, and then straight back in the car and straight back for the show. And last weekend, I spoke at High Elms Manor in Watford. It's a lovely venue, that's really beautiful. And then the weekend before that, I did a live Skype to a conference in Malta. So pretty busy with that. So great thanks to Kerry Cassidy, who organised those conferences. And what's brilliant, of course, is Kerry is American, and yet she is in the UK organising conferences here. And I actually asked her, why aren't you doing them in the States? She said, well, I do them in the States, but there's some good speakers in Britain. And that's really nice that someone from America is prepared to come over here and organise venues. So I did sort of pay a little bit of a tribute to her, because she doesn't like to blow her own trumpet. So I just sort of thanked her and, you know, made the audience aware of, what a tireless worker she is. So that was great. On my own personal side, of course, it's been a very interesting few weeks. The entity that I've always called Dad finally removed him from my life. Some people say that's traumatic. I don't know that it was traumatic. It was very easy to make the decision. And I obviously want to talk a little bit about that. I think that would be the right thing to do. But I have done an hour and a half interview with Alexandra Meadows just on this topic, and it hasn't been posted yet. Fingers crossed it's going to be posted on Monday. So people who are aware of what's happening can actually go to that video And Alexander's put loads of questions to me, and I've answered them openly, honestly, and as sincerely, as simply as I could. So hopefully that will, you know, go into a lot more detail than I'm going to do now, because obviously the purpose of the show is to answer people's questions and connect with the audience. But very, very briefly, for those who think, what's he talking about? About a year, just over a year ago, a member of my family sent me a message saying, there's a shadow that's come into the room, and this member of the family lived a good 200 miles away from me. There's a shadow in the room, and the member of the family said, I thought it was you. It felt like you. It had the same energy signature as you. But when I looked, it was just a shadow, and it's not you. So what I realized was that something was masquerading as me or pretending to be me. But that's all the information I had. Now, there were a couple of other people who sort of came up to me and said similar things, but they had different agendas as well. So these were people that really didn't sort of, weren't the sort of people I would invite back to the house for a cup of tea. So all I had really was this member of the family who'd said something. And then at the conference at Bury in Manchester, dear old Fran and quite a cohort of her light workers who had been working on a separate topic to do with the Dracos, that night she said that she felt that she knew it wasn't me, but something like me had tried to get into the bedroom where she was in the hotel. Now, when she told me that, that was the final piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and I was able to put two and two together. And what I worked out was that when I was between the ages of 3 years old and 6 years old, the entity that I referred to as Dad, that's the white draconis, Anu, had put some sort of energy hook, that's the best way I can describe it, into the auric field of my body. And he was using that to not solely go and visit women, but also men as well, to either try to sexually excite them or frighten them or whatever agenda he had. And when I realized that he had betrayed me, and, you know, the audience have to realize that this being had never hurt me. I had no reason ever to distrust him. But when I realized, and I think it had to be Fran who would tell me, because I'd worked very closely with Fran for over a year. We set up Connecting Consciousness together. So I trusted her, and he knew that she wouldn't spin me a yarn. This was very true. And as soon as I scanned myself, knowing what I was looking for, sure enough, I found what I can only describe as an energy hook. And I didn't even think about lying, because I could have said to Fran, oh, no, it's not true. You know, that's not the case. Or I could have said, do you know what? I'm far too spiritual for anything like that to happen to, and denied it. But that's not what I'm about. So as soon as I discovered that, I felt totally betrayed, because somewhere between the ages of 3, as a small boy, and 6, this entity had done that to me without my permission. That's why actually it was relatively easy to get rid of, because there was no contract with it. It had been done without my knowledge. And so I removed that with the help of others, and I banished him from my life, removed any contact, any, there were no agreements as such, but any chance of him coming back. And I took his picture off the website and replaced it with the human side, which is the Agartha Network, Mount Shasta, and put a little statement out, and got Fran to put a statement out as well. And basically apologized to people and saying, look, you know, you need to understand that this is a manipulation that's taken place. And some people have said to me, well, why didn't you spot it earlier? And the fact of the matter was that I did regularly scan myself for anything. But because I'd known no different, this is done between the ages of 3 or 6, every time I looked, this thing, which I would just describe as this sort of hook thing, I thought was part of my body. It wasn't alien. But when I also did this full scan, I found 3 energy implants around my head. One to the left of my ear, one above the crown chakra, as it were, and one to the right. These were energy, and I dissolved those. And the amazing thing is that people, that's quite a good idea really, people are saying to me, you look younger. So, it's taken a weight off me because, probably my higher self always knew that something was wrong, something was being manipulated, something wasn't right. And, that's a great relief. So my first, inkling was, right, let's get this out to everybody and explain what's happened. Now, those people who are spiritual will say, well, Simon's gone on his own journey and, you know, he's seen this deception and he's acted in a way that we would always hope he would act. But there will be some people, of course, who will say, no, I told you he was always bad. And, you know, they can go on their own journey, do what they want. I'm sure that I'll lose some people, but I will gain far more. Gain people who really understand what's going on, and hopefully we'll see that. I'm sure I'm not the first, and sadly I suppose I won't be the last, but it is the game they play, but this entity will never play that game with me again. So that's been a really, really exciting development in terms of my own evolution, in my own way of developing. So that's my news on that one.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Simon. And well, yeah, there's always detractors. I'll tell you that one of the thoughts that just came to my mind while you were saying this is, you know, for a long time, people have not been able to get hold of you because you're busy or there's all these emails, everything's in the way and all this stuff. I would imagine that now, it was actually a protection so that people wouldn't get.
There is that.
There's your computer's agreeing with me.
Well, actually, there must be some truth in that, but I've got some news for you and the audience on that score. And I have you to thank, JP.
You do?
I do indeed. You remember last Wolf Spirit Radio, we had to conduct the second part of the interview by landline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember? Because the interference was so bad. Yep. Well, what you'd said is, it sounds like you almost used the word being jammed. Something's been broadcast over the top. Now, I think that was your higher self. You may not even remember doing that, but that's what you said.
Well, I mean, I'm a radio engineer and I'm an amateur radio engineer and I've been into audio, so I know what and also Wi-Fi, computers and Wi-Fi, and I know what interference sounds like. And feels like. So, and what it is, it's like there was something broadcasting really big. So what did you get, Simon?
Well, I'll tell you what I got. And, because I respect you so much and because you, such a, spiritual person, I knew that this was a warning to me. Well, got Wynn in. You know, Wynn is a fabulous engineer.
Oh yeah. He knows the frequencies.
He certainly does. And he brought 6 gadgets with him. And what we found was that I'll just remind the audience that when I went public, which was around about 2010, within 3 months of going public, a council had received planning permission to put up a phone mast. And I measured it. It's 120 feet from my front door. So what we found was that on the low bandwidth, I'm absolutely being fried. Just the top floor of the house where my office is, it's dangerous levels. On the digital display, had the red light was on, and Wynn is not a man to speak gushingly, and he actually said
he's not over dramatic about his phraseology.
He's not. And he said, "I've never seen anything as bad as this ever." On the analog display, the needle was actually bouncing against the right hand side of the box. It couldn't go any further, and it was actually hitting the side and bouncing back. Now, the amazing thing is that this is a fan shape wave coming out from the tower, and it is in my room. It's quite a small room. It's only, the ceiling's only about, I don't know, about 8 foot high, but it's 1 foot off the ground. If you took a ruler, 1 foot off the ground and 2 foot off the ceiling. So there's this section, 2 foot from the ceiling, 1 foot off the ground, completely being bathed. So whether I'm sitting or standing, I'm getting it. And that has been progressively increased, obviously. And that is why we lost the last hour of the show. That's why I've been getting the headaches. And that's why for the last 4 years, 5 years, my communications have been so seriously affected. So anyway, he said it's a serious risk to health. He's written me all the words I need to use because I've got to write to BT. They will either send an engineer, and he's going to make sure he's there as well to measure it, or he thinks it's more likely they're just because it's, I think it's deliberate. I can't say that publicly to them, but I can say it on the show. He thinks they'll just turn it off because they've been caught out. So it's been fried, been cooked with microwaves. Now it gets even better than this. I went to Bury, last weekend to do my conference.
Sorry, Bury is a place. You didn't go to Bury. I went to Bury something. What did you go to Bury? Bury is a place. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's north of Manchester. And, this was just 3 or 4 days after I'd been made aware of what had happened with the microwaving. And, when I got back, no laptop in my car. So my laptop has been stolen. It wasn't stolen at the venue because I had it after the venue. The last time I had it, I put it in the boot of the car. So that means, you see, that I can't go downstairs and use the laptop outside of the radio waves. So, that's very interesting. That's been stolen. Fran has very, very kindly offered to go halves with me because obviously she wants to support me. So hopefully I'm going to go and go halves on a new laptop. So there are some very evil people out there who are hell-bent on preventing me speaking and ruining my health, really. So, I'm just really amazed that I'm still functioning the way I am, having been bathed in microwave cooking for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, wow. So how do you feel now you know what it is? Do you feel it? Can you sense it when you step out of it?
What's happening now, because they have upped it. I mean, the last 2 to 2 weeks or 3 weeks, they have actually upped the energy output of it. I don't believe it was always that high.
You know what I was thinking, Simon? You know, if you could get Wynn to get a coil that resonated with that frequency and start charging some batteries, you could probably run your house off that energy wirelessly. Thank you very much. You're sending us wireless, and you basically interrupt it before it gets to you.
You know what? I'd rather drive a JCB and knock the damn thing down. I really would. So basically, I think what I feel is that I'm now detecting when I begin to feel a bit ill. I thought it was pressure at work. I thought it was this, that and the other, but now I know it wasn't. So now I'm only doing 1 hour a day in that room until, you know, we get something sorted on it. But I suppose, as people have said to me, well, at least Simon, we know you're on the side, because if you weren't getting baked with microwaves, if they weren't stealing your laptop, if they weren't doing all these things to you, then it would mean that you're not a threat. And that goes for all of us who are trying to do what we can in our own way, to try to wake people up and try and support people, that if we get left alone, then we have to ask ourselves seriously what positive effects are we making on the planet if no one's bothered about us. So, but it was my health that was more concerning, because I think the information I was getting from people was, had I done another 3 months, I probably would have succumbed to something quite nasty. Anyway.
They would basically, now this is something very interesting, because Nancy Hopkins was an NSA analyst in the 70s or something. And they were trying to read, the Russians were using microwave beams into the embassy to try and pick up the audio, like by using Doppler effect and just to like a radar scan. And she was called in because all of these guys were getting ill, and she was saying, "Well, you know, she was." They said all the people in the Russian embassy were getting ill. What's that all about? And she discovered that it was that they were being beamed with microwaves, and that they were basically being spied on. That was how they were being spied on. So it was a twofer, but there was a great discovery there. Is that That's how people read your activity. It's like you know, by getting the difference of, you know, can see anything that moves in your house, like invisible, right. You know, transparent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll do that. Yeah. Now, just news, worldwide news, something that is quite important, you could loosely call them the white hats or the white dragons or what have you, but the elite who are decent, certainly based very heavily in China, have concluded that the Rothschilds are not signatures to Agenda 21. And for people who are just listening to the show and just sort of recently understood the truth, or people who listen to it later on YouTube, Agenda 21 is a cover to basically poison and wipe out as many of us as the elite possibly can. That it seems that the Rothschilds never signed up to Agenda 21, and that has meant that there's been a deal that's been worked with the Rothschilds. They are now permanently going to live in Switzerland. In fact, if you phone up their head office, the phone is not being answered at the moment. I actually tried it myself, and it just rings and rings. It's the first time ever in history. The idea, I think, is that if they move to Switzerland and they are not enmeshed in genocide or potential genocide, then it's seen that they probably have a chance to evolve and they have a future. But those psychopaths who clearly want to wipe out people, they're not getting that deal. Now, apart from two generals in the United States Army, every other general has decided that they are going to stand by the side of the citizenry. This is really important. People in America, you know, you need to listen. That I've always said that the military will never, ever, on a wide scale, shoot on the citizens. There'll always be some maverick units that will do that. But the vast majority of the American military will not turn on the citizens. My concern for the last 2 years has been the American police force, because I believe that many of them would. And I've been made aware that there has been a very, very successful program through the sheriff's departments. Again, for people who are not in America, it's hard to understand the legal system in America, but each county has a sheriff. And the sheriff, although is somewhat separate from some of the police units, his or her standing within that field is very, very strong. It goes right back to the days of the Wild West, and it's still enshrined in American law, very much so. The American sheriffs have, by and large, decided that the police force will not support anything that goes from the Constitution. So we have some very, very big moves. Now, that's really good news. News that's not as good. The Earth is feminine, and there's no coincidence that the President of the United States will now probably be Hillary Clinton, a female. The Prime Minister of Great Britain, Theresa May, is a female. And the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, is a female. I call them the three witches, going back to that famous play. And it is a mistaken belief by these people, the elite, that by hooking what they call the divine feminine into the feminine biorhythm of the planet, they will be able to hoodwink the people in their countries. These are the three most important countries in the world: Germany, Britain, and America. I know people who perhaps live in Canada and Australia might not like that, but what I mean is it's the battlefront, important, not in any terms except it's the battlefront. It's where the decisions will be made as to whether the human race is going to make it or not. And their plan is that by having three women working as a pyramid, they will try to hook in and try and do things that no other leader has tried to do. So that's not going to work, because they're not very divine and their energy is not in sync with the energy of the planet. So, you know, it's no surprising that I went through my own personal journey, because 7 years ago, or 6 years ago, in an interview with Wynne Keach and Miles Johnson, I actually said that 2016/2017 would be the deciding time, not just for individuals, but for the Western world, and thus the whole planet, because the Western world is where most of the battles are being fought at the moment, not exclusively, but largely. So I always knew this was going to be a rough year. Buddy, we have to do it. We have to do it. And we have to come through and be strong. So that's my news. Yes, quite a bundle of news. So we better get on to the questions, I think.
Yes, the diabolical feminine, huh? Well, where should we start? Let's go to the old database and see where we start. So, now, like I say, I've been, when I go to this database, let's do a couple of maintenance things. Number one, we have a call to listen number for the live shows. Okay. Which means that if you're in America, well, you can call anywhere, but I mean, if you're in America, you can actually use your cell phone or your, you don't want to fry your brains, but you could put it on speakerphone in a cardboard tube or something. You can dial this number 712. Okay. So 7, like in 7 rays, 12 as in 12, 12 everything. Okay. Then 432. This is really good. I love this number. 432. You know, we talk about 432 and, 9588. And I have to think of something else. So I have to think of a word that dials 90. So, if anybody in the chat room can do one of those little searches for making words from the phone number, let's see what we can come up with. It should be quite fun. But anyway, 712-432-9588. And that's directly live into the Wolf Spirit stream. So you can just listen on the telephone to our radio station 24/7. It's part of TalkStream Live, which, I registered Ever Beyond, you see. I registered because I've been doing it for years and he knows me. But the benefit is that everybody gets the number. See? Your computer agrees. Anyway, so, that's my maintenance thing. Oh, the other maintenance thing is if you wish to ask a question during the show, best thing is to arrive really early. Because I'm going to ask the first questions first, and people started asking questions a couple of hours ago. You go to wolfspiritradio.com/listen, and then there's a button in the menu says ask a question, and there's when you hit the submit, that goes into the database, and we can speak about it. So that's the best time to do it, is before the show begins on the first or third Sunday. And I have to say, the pressure's dropped. We got lots of listeners, but the pressure of the questions dropped since we've started the 2 a month. So that's really good, Simon. So without any further ado, I'd like to start with, where is that question? There was one I just, yes. All right. So this is a very interesting question. All right. This is about the speed and vibration. Hello, Simon, from Mog78. Apologies if this question has been asked before, but I don't think it has. Has time as we know it on Earth speeded up? And if so, is it because of the rise of the Earth's vibration? Will it slow down again? Many thanks to you.
It's a really good question. I think there are many, many people around the planet who up saying, well, where's the day gone? You know, I normally achieve this task or this job by 2 o'clock, and it's like, you know, running out of time. What's happening? It is speeding up. There's absolutely no question about that. It is speeding up because the energy frequency around us is increasing, and hopefully we're increasing with it. And time isn't the time that we understood at school. You know, when you look at a clock, as we all know, that's just an arbitrary way of measuring. But the amount of light, this is the way to look at it, the amount of light energy is changing, and therefore the tasks, the jobs that we would do, whatever that might be, they stay the same, and they are, they're immutable. But the time that we're measuring is actually contracting, so it's becoming impossible physically to put in the same amount of tasks within the same, loosely, time. So that is something that spiritual people are discovering, and it is actually a very positive sign, because if a person is beginning to think what's going on here, that means that their vibrational rate is also increasing. So yes is the answer. It won't slow down. What's got to happen is that as the vibrational rate of the planet increases, so that will then feed in to whatever we do, and therefore those tasks will also increase in resonance. So we are going to have to move through the fourth, and I don't believe we'll stay very long there at all, through the fourth into the fifth, and then we should have a balance. So that I can't say things will be faster or 10 times faster. Everything will be balanced. We will have enough time to do things, but it will be at a different rate. So it's a really good question, and you're absolutely right. And before we go on to the next question, I just want to basically say for people who don't know, and those who do know, that obviously I'm very sad for Max Spears, who died very recently, and Sarah Adams, obviously, who was devoted, they were devoted to each other. So heart goes out to her and to the family. There are a lot of people who are leaving the planet at the moment. You know, I don't think I want to say any more, just that we're sort of thinking of the people who, you know, are very sad at the moment.
Absolutely. The super soldier community that we seem to, that seems to be arising, and that includes people like TIs and abductees and everybody who's been involved with My Labs and this whole military industrial complex. He's been, I'm going to use those words. He's a kind of, he's like a Jesus figure. He's very calm. He's very charismatic. He's young. He's about 33, isn't he? I think there may be a potential of them trying to impose a meme on this. But I have to also say, I love Max dearly. I don't know why. I've never spoken to him, but I love him dearly. And 2 years ago, another super soldier died. That was Dave Corso. Right?
Mm.
And our experience of that in Wolf Spirit Radio was why we do this. And I just want to lay out very, very quickly. What happened is, I was going to have a show the next week. My journeys, my regular Monday show. And, on it, I had a lady who was going to be channeling the Pleiadians, right? So, channeling the Pleiadians, always fun. And then, when she came on, when I spoke to her at the beginning of the show, she said, there's this guy who's been bothering me all week psychically, and he says his name's Dave. And, you know, the bottom dropped out of something, my jaw dropped, everything. And I said, really? Okay, well, let's talk about Dave, shall we? And we did a whole live show, completely spontaneous. And she was saying things that Dave would say. Because Dave had a particular way of saying things, you know. Wow. He had a way, you know. And so you could recognize his way when he was talking through her. And she didn't know. She had no idea. She thought she was completely separate from the Wolf Spirit thing and had no idea about the big drama that we were all going on with. So our experience was that Dave, like Obi-Wan, became greater than he was. He said, right. All right. So that's enough of this. I've got some haunting to do. It was so funny. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And so, yes, I understand the feeling of loss, but let this loss be a trigger. You know, we were talking, just before the show about the trigger of Lyra. And this is something I want to talk about on my show tonight. So I want to go into great depth. And anybody who wishes to contribute with any of their memories or feelings, because it's all coming out through my feelings, and I'm remembering things through feeling things that I haven't felt for a very long time, and it's because it's been buried, and it's been deliberately buried, so we don't know who we are. But now that burial is coming to arise, and we'll explore that on my show later. So I won't take over your show, but it's, you know, these are momentous times, Simon, as you said. You know, a few months ago you said, you better be prepared for, you know, have a few things in stock, you know, take some money, you know, get some cash, da 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 da. Good idea.
Mm.
Be prepared. Dib. Sosa. Where do we go? Right, okay, so here's a shape-shifting question from James. What exactly happens when someone shapeshifts, and how long can the person stay in non-human form? Or indeed in human form?
Yes, that's a good little caveat there. If a person has a considerable amount of reptilian DNA or has a considerable element to their soul, they can energy overlay shift. In other words, that the first aspect would be, if you imagine when you go to the cinema, you go to the movies, there's a projector and it shines the film onto a screen. Well, the first thing that will shapeshift is the eyes. And in the energy overlay shift, the energy activates, and it isn't the eye that actually changes. It's almost like that projector is running a film. It's like a holograph. Just about, oh God, a micron above the real eye, then there's a false eye, if you like. It's the energy overlay. And then that will be something that shifts. Now, that's the first phase. And depending, again, how much DNA or energy of the nature that person has, because it doesn't have to be reptilian, you can shift into something else, then physically it will change. So the eye would physically change and move. Now, that's all perfectly normal and acceptable, because human beings that have a large percentage of another race or races in them can do that, and that's not wrong. What's wrong is when you have human beings who have been overlaid by another entity. So energetically, that entity, like dropping a blanket over somebody, you know, like the traditional ghost, the person running around with a sheet over their body. But instead of a sheet, it's an energy overlay. Now, that is something that's really, really wrong, where the whole human body has been taken over, and the whole body can shift in and change. So that is the sort of elite people, maybe the Queen of England, George Soros, that President Putin referred to as a sly old dragon, several top key people, Rothschilds, etc., etc., some of the popes, all are at that top end. In other words, they're not particularly human. They are part of an elite sacrificial blood group that are more alien than human. So for them, shape-shifting is the whole body. They could literally change, and this, we're talking reptilian, the scales, the claws, everything. And that would be real physical 3D. But for the majority of people who shape-shift, it's the odd eye that goes here and there, sometimes an energetic tail, things like that. So I hope that helps with the answer.
So a little question caveat for that. There are reptilians that are not bad, right? There are Dracos. What I'm trying to say is dragons are... there's a whole thing about dragons. What's the deal with dragons? See? Ping. The dragons have spoken. What is the deal with dragons? They're not Alpha Draconian, are they?
No, they're not.
Sorry, I'm just babbling because there's something very strong about dragons at the moment.
Well, they actually have a reputation of being very helpful and good, generally speaking. That's why, unfortunately, in England, you have the tale of St. George and the dragon. So St. George is slaying the dragon, and we portray the dragon as evil. In ancient Welsh lore, there was a red dragon and a white dragon. And one was good and one was bad. But most dragons are actually good. They do share a connection with reptilians a very long time ago, but they diverged. And many people are connected with what they call dragon energy, and that is not to be mistaken with Draconis. Draconis means dragon, but the Draconis took the name simply because they claim that their ancestry was from dragons, which I accept. So the original queen, Draconis, was actually a dragon, four legs, two at the front, two at the back, but looked more like a dinosaur than a dragon. More like a sort of a brontosaurus or something like that. But that's the original dragon queen. But they diverged and split. One group became the reptilian group as we understand it, and the other dragon group just stayed because they reached the pinnacle of their evolution. They didn't need to evolve beyond a certain level. So my understanding would be that the dragons are generally helpful or good or independent and are totally separate from the draconis.
Thank you about that, because there's a lot of confusion about dragons, and you know, we're in such a teeming universe of living beings, and we don't realize that what are, like you were saying before about humans, that sometimes you can see a reptile. You can also see like other creatures. You can see some people look like dogs. Some yeah. people look like guinea pigs. You know,
a guinea pig is a new one on me.
I'm sure you know girls like who look like guinea pigs. They're like, they work in libraries, they're a little shy, and they're so sweet, and they're like...
Slap round the face if I said to somebody you look like a guinea pig.
I know.
But I certainly know that people, the Canis, that race, alien race, the Canis race, the dog race, mm-hmm. That certainly is true. And I think the thing is that the problem that we have when we educate people who are just beginning to come onto the field here is that they have this concept of an alien being a slimy blob, you know, that's sort of jelly that sits on the floor, or something with 12 eyes on stalks. When you say, well, actually, it could look like many things that we have on the planet, it's this that freaks them out. When things look very familiar, then that's where people go into denial. So the more bug-eyed it is, the more crazy it looks, then, you know, that's fine. They can cope with it. And this is what we have to educate people, that we're not unique here. Much of the life that is on this planet has been brought here from somewhere else. You know, there's no coincidence that abductees, contactees, experiencers who are familiar with the grey wraith. That's a duck quacking, by the way, if you wondered. If you can hear that, JP.
I believe that there is a duck race somewhere that one day I'm going to have to apologize for Christmas for.
Well, yes, you should give up eating ducks. But basically, you know, there is a situation where a number of creatures resemble the skin of a grey alien, and a dolphin is one of them. So many people who are contactees have mentioned the similarity between the skin of a grey and the skin of a dolphin. And on the Sirius or Cirrus star system, there is a water world like Earth, and there are dolphins there. So, you know, we're all interconnected, as you often remind people, that we are all linked, and that there's nothing unique in the sense that the pattern that has been produced on this Earth is exactly that. It is a pattern drawn from a blueprint, and that life is everywhere. We are unique. Each living creature is unique, he or she, but we should understand that there are other creatures that look very similar to us in other dimensions.
Thank you. So let's go on to the next question. Now, this is a rather long question that I'm just going to precede a little bit because it is enormous, and you kind of semi-covered it a bit. So this is from Aurora. Simon, have not yet commented about the revolution going on in the US with Bernie Sanders and his campaign. Bernie made history by running a campaign from contributions from only American citizens and not from the wealthy elite. Last week, his followers faced great despair and disgust when Bernie endorsed Hillary Clinton. Many felt like they'd been kicked in the stomach, and those who had felt the burn in the beginning now felt violated and betrayed. Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, whose platform is almost exactly like the Sanders platform, is now gaining huge support from those who cannot and will not fall in line and vote for Hillary. Is it possible that the US could have a robust 33rd party in this election where citizens can have a real say in the final outcome?
No. The reason that I never Well, I need to be honest. And I suppose that actually is quite good because it shows that I'm consistent. The reason that I never talked about Bernie Sanders was because I always know he would cave in at the end. I never gave him any energy. That's not to say that what he talked about was wrong or he didn't believe in it. I actually believe that he did truly want to bring change. But you know what? At the end of the day, these are career politicians. And if someone came to him and said, look, here's the deal. You know you're not going to win. If you carry on like this, you will be, use the religious term, you'll be excommunicated and you'll never be anything. But if you throw your weight behind Hillary Clinton, then you will get a job when Hillary becomes president. That's why I never endorsed Bernie. Look, I served as a politician in London, and I was back there today at Passing Clouds talking, and it's last time I spoke in public in Hackney was 1999, and that was as a Labour councillor. So it was nice to go back, back in Hackney speaking publicly, but speaking a different sort of truth. And my Labour Party membership has lapsed. I've let it run out. I haven't renewed it. And the reason that I've done that is because at the present time, it is not compatible to speak the truth and be a member of a political party, because political parties now are fully and utterly controlled. You could say they've always been controlled, but I think it's become incredibly so over the last 3 years. And I just let my political party membership lapse because I had to make a choice. And there was no way I was going to stay in the system, because I don't believe that the system as it stands is beneficial to all of us ordinary people. But people like Bernie Sanders obviously think it is. So no, what's got to happen is that the public in all of the major countries have got to decide that the way that they elect their leaders is totally wrong. If we are going to vote for a donkey or an elephant, that's, of course, the political mascots of the American system, or a torch or a rose, which is the major two parties in this country, then actually you're giving your power to something that you have no understanding of. What we should be doing in these countries is voting for men and women who are standing on a platform that means something to us locally. So it's about them connecting with us, not because they represent a political party, but because they speak the values and the truths that we can identify with. Now, until that moment comes, then the system is never, ever going to deliver a just society. It just cannot do that, because it is designed to maintain the control systems of the human race, just as religion is, just as the civil service is, just as the medical profession is, just as the education system is, all designed to hold people in a position and throw them just enough crumbs to prevent a rebellion. So when the vast majority of the human race wakes up to the fact that it is totally in a game of manipulation and does what they did in Iceland, basically what they did in Iceland was they stormed the lawmakers, they stormed the parliament building and physically threw people out, and they completely rewrote their constitution, and they threw out the Rothschild from the banking system in Iceland. When that happens, then people will actually get a form of representation that is actually there to serve their interests and not the interests of the system. So it makes no difference whether you get Donald Trump or whether you get Hillary Clinton, because both of those people are part of the same machine. So that's what's got to change.
Excellent, excellent. So, from there to here, from Kaz. Hi, Simon. You mentioned before the significance of eye colours and also that nothing appears in Hollywood movies by chance. Can you tell me what would two different eye colours indicate? And can you guess why, in the animated Minions movie, there is a character called Bob with one green and one brown eye who seems connected to the Sword in the Stone legend. Much appreciation.
Right. Really good question. Well done. Hybridization can create very interesting genetics, but in a Hollywood film, it is meant to represent Jekyll and Hyde. So if you have two color different eyes, it depends on the color that they represent. The two key colors when they do that are either red or green. The other eye color doesn't matter. But if someone is shown with two separate colored eyes, then if one is red or one is green, then that's of great significance. And what they're trying to, in my opinion, trying to show is that this character is a split personality. I don't mean that in mind control terms. I mean that sometimes in a golem-like creature, they want to do good and they have a conscience, and then other times they are bad and they you know, that's activated. So when we see characters in Hollywood with two different colored eyes, what that's telling me is that they are portraying an individual who is tormented inside, who is part and parcel of a control system, but is calling or crying to come out and be free. So that's what that means to me.
Really? So that when I meet people who have got, and I have a few friends who have got different colored eyes, that they're essentially, could you say that they may be half Pleiadian, half reptilian, and are trying to reconcile that? Or that they've been hybridized and just dumped here? Or is there a kind of mission that can be facilitated? You see what I mean? Because they're at the cutting edge of the healing of the war by taking it into their own body.
I think anybody is incredibly rare. And if you know lots, or you know more than one person with mixed eyes, then that is hugely significant for you and for them. I couldn't go down the road of whether they're Palladian or this, that, and the other without actually meeting them. What I'll take it to mean is that they have taken on a task to experience two sorts of energies. One is the energy of the light, and one is the energy of the dark. And they are then transmuting that within themselves and trying to understand what that has a significance for whichever racial group, star family group they are, but also in terms of how they are implementing that in a 3D world. So it's less about whether they're half this and half that, and much more about that they originally came here with a mindset, either a negative or a positive mindset, and then through evolution of incarnating in different bodies, they then began to experiment by going into the other faction and then coming back and trying to join the circle up and be, be healed, but to do more than that, to send that energy out through the multiverse to show it could be done. So anybody who has different colored eyes is of huge significance. And I think you're right, JP. They are engaged in the healing process, not just of their own race or races, but of the situation here on the planet at the moment.
So that's really interesting. I mean, because you say it's really rare. I'm thinking, like, I know loads of people all through my life. I just,
well,
just seeing
funny.
A whole catalogue of people with different coloured eyes. And I find them fascinating. And I have a deep empathy with them somehow. So,
well, I think that's, you understand their pain.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Simon, from Jenny Campbell. Get me out of here. Simon, years ago, I was awakened looking in the mirror and saw a completely different person. Living in the same house, I woke up in the night, standing in the doorway, hearing a very loud clacking, rustling sound. Maybe cracking or, I don't know if clacking or cracking, rustling sound. It felt like it was a strong wind in my house. I was not fully awake and proceeded to wake myself. Can you explain either of these experiences?
Does she say whether she smelt anything?
No.
Oh, right, okay. That would have been a clincher. All right, so we haven't got any idea of whether there was a distinctive smell. There are several possibilities. First of all, and I can't say which is the more likely because the information is quite scant, but one possibility is that she literally found herself projecting into another dimension. Different timeline. People refer to things as parallel universes. But basically, she was hooked in the energy signature of her space and time, but she was projecting herself either forwards or backwards, or both at once. And she was perceiving herself as a different person, but, you know, in that reality. Another possibility is that there's some external interference going on, and there could be some manipulation of her mind taking place. That's quite common. The other possibility is that sometimes a person just literally gets a flashback from a previous life and so projects that forward. So it could be any one of those. Certainly don't think that she was dreaming or daydreaming. I think that that's a real experience because other people have said that, and I've had something a little bit similar, not exactly the same. So there's enough evidence actually out there to show that that's a real experience she went through. But without more information, that's as far as I can go with it, JP.
Thank you very much, Simon. So, in 1946, in Hackney, in Hackney, in October, at the end of October, was born a young boy to the Greenbones. And they called him Peter. And we eventually get to know him as Peter Green.
Yeah.
Because Greenbone is a bit too Jewish sounding. And, you know, he came from Bethnal Green. So it's like your rock star name. So he wrote a song. He's now dead. Bless his heart. He was a lovely man. He was a really beautiful man. He gave all his money away. He didn't want any, you know. And his song is called Big Change Is Gonna Come. And I think it's very appropriate for right now. So. Oh yes, Peter Green from Bethnal Green. Yay! In Hackney. Yay! Where Simon's just been. Yay! Where I come from. Yay! But you know, it's really funny because like where I was born and, all the buildings that I lived in my early life, they've all been destroyed. They've all been torn down, rent asunder to make space for condominiums and apartment blocks.
Minions.
Yeah, condominiums where you put where you condle your minions.
Do you remember that T-Rex Mark Boland actually lived in Hackney for a while?
Did he? He said, "Yeah, he's probably he's a local Jewish boy." I'm sure Mark Feldman was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There was a blue plaque on in Stoke Newington. It's called Stokey for sure.
Stokey. I was going to say Stokey.
Well, where I used to live in Hackney, I lived right next door to a synagogue. Uh-huh. And most of the Jews, of course, moved out from that part of Hackney and moved further north. So it's been knocked down to make way for, as always, for luxury apartments. But what was really funny was that they divided them into two blocks, two houses. One house is called Jacob House and the other one's Gabriel House. I thought that was so funny because it had been on the place of a synagogue.
And the Jacob and Gabriel are significant. Why? Just so that people won't ask question.
That's a traditional Jewish name. And of course, Gabriel was one of the key angels. And Jacob, of course, was one of the founding fathers of the Jewish race.
There you go. Thank you. Just wanted to, you know, just in case, because people ask, yeah, so, you didn't live near Casenoff Road, did you?
Very close indeed.
Because I went to primary school in Casenoff Road, and it's probably that school exactly that you're talking about.
Well, it's interesting because the houses there are very Victorian, aren't
they? Yes, yes. Big old houses. Huge.
Vast. Yeah, with cellars. Yeah. Many of them have cellars.
Yeah, we used to know a guy in Stoke Newington as well, in Newington Green, and Daniel Defoe's old house, I think.
Oh, God.
And we used to play in the basement. We used to play rock and roll and have great fun.
It was because of the clay ground was very susceptible to flooding, but they were easy to dig. And so most of the big houses there had huge cellars. Anyway, let's get on with the questions, sir.
So, indeed, yes. Meanwhile, back in. All right, so excellent question, by the way, the I question. Dan Farmer, was 9/11 the event that split the timeline into two possible outcomes?
Ah, what an interesting point. Yes and no. 9/11 was perpetrated because the people who carried out the atrocity believed that by doing so, it placed America or their own power within America on the strongest timeline. In other words, they foresaw that without the energy of the word terror, the New World Order and the elite would fall very quickly. But by injecting the concept of terror and terrorism into the psyche of the human race, they could maintain for another 25 years or thereabouts. So it was, yes, it was about making money. Larry Silverstein made $1 billion from the destruction of the towers on an insurance payout. But, and people made stocks and shares on United Airlines, etc. But the major reason was to fix the United States of America on a particular timeline that favored the evil people. However, it also created the truth movement amongst a wide range of people who up until that moment had never even questioned anything. So yes, on one hand, it injected terrorism into the everyday language of the newspapers and of the media, but it also created a vast army of people who suddenly realized that their government was betraying them. So it did, I suppose, in a way, produce two timelines. It produced one solid timeline. We are on a positive timeline. Please don't misunderstand me. It's a good positive timeline. But within that, we have this energy, which we call terrorism. But running parallel to that, we have a huge truth movement, which, of course, the bad guys never envisaged would be created. So sometimes good can come out of evil.
Yes, it's very interesting that what seems to be happening is that all the machinery that was the mechanism of the evil ones is now being kind of, let's say, repurposed. because they didn't have room for a heart. And the heart has all sorts of creative solutions to things, you know. It's a very interesting thing. So, meanwhile, back at the database. There's a good one from Ashley. Can you tell us about the nexus at the center of our universe and why it's called the Well?
If we believe, and I do, and I hope most of us do, that everything has a consciousness, but that the central point of whatever we're looking at is the center from where all emanates from. And we could use the word wellspring, where the life of water or the life of energy springs forth. Now, it doesn't have to be physical. It can be in an energetic form, unseen, but felt. Or indeed, it can be as in the saying of a water from the well. It can be physical. But what it means is life bringing. And something that brings life is pure, and is loving and is good. So the center of the universe produces an energy which radiates out at certain times in a planet or a star's evolution, and the life that may exist on the backs of those planets. When that energy at that time, its frequency is tweaked, and it's all been written in the history many, many, many millions of billions of years before, but can be activated and up-tuned or down-tuned. But when that energy hits, it always hits in a pattern and in a frequency. And it's that which can do so much good because this has been created by source. So basically, we've just had a wave of energy come over the planet a few days ago. And sometimes it takes 2 to 3 days for that to embed or to mesh in. But we always see a spike, which sometimes, I'm not saying it's negative, but sometimes there's so much energy coming in that it's really damn difficult to process it and can sort of burn us out a little bit. But it's about seeing the difference between those who can absorb that energy, transmute it, understand it, and it becomes part of them and enhances their whole being. And those people where it's just like over the top of their head, it bathes their physical body and their energy body, but it doesn't start a process. It doesn't do anything. And some people, it can just sit there and reactivate and activate at a later date. So just because they don't act now doesn't mean they won't in the future. So when we were a couple of years ago, sort of very much towards galactic center, the negative forces obviously understood this and they were trying to corrupt the pure energy and use it for themselves. It didn't work, which means that they've lost that opportunity now. And anything that's coming now from the center, by and large, can't be jammed by them. 4 years ago, there was a blanket of reptilian energy around the Earth, a sort of a shielding. They tried to use that to, like, con wall to absorb or deflect some of this positive energy that was coming through.
A sort of etheric chemtrail.
Yes. And what it did was make us mark time. It meant that we were held up a little bit. Now, that's not there now. And we are marching full steam ahead, I'm pleased to say. So it's a really, 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 insightful question, because it's understanding that from the very center springs love. So that's a really good question.
Isn't it? The great heart. You know, they call it the heart of the galaxy. It's the heart. It's right in the middle. It's like a Catherine wheel. It's always giving, always giving, always giving. Anyhow. Ah, you're getting really, there we go. There we go. All right, now, this is another brilliant question. I saw this one before. All right, from Destiny Calls. Dear Simon and JP, where might humanity be now, spiritually, technologically, and physically, had we not been deceived and recycled after each lifetime? Thank you so much for all your hard work. Love and light, DC.
That's a far more complicated question than many people might take it as, because the obvious answer is, well, we would be technologically hugely advanced and therefore we would be hugely spiritually advanced. But that actually wouldn't be the right answer. It is precisely because we had to see through the deception. It is precisely because each man and woman on this planet has to or had to make a choice as to who they were and what they were and what their role was within the whole of the multiverse, that we can have the chance to evolve. Because if you have a clear run and there's no blockages, then you don't have to ask yourself any questions. You just accept what comes along, take it, and hey, presto, you've done it. But what sort of a human are you at the end of that? Are you really one who's developed and is strong and is understanding? Or are you someone that's quite superficial because you've never been pushed to the limit and never challenged? So all of the trials and tribulations and the deceptions have been done for a reason. They've been done to play out a learning process. Now, it's up to each individual whether they wish to seek the learning and take the knowledge from that and put it into their lives and try and be better people, or whether we just push it away and say, well, no, because, you know, there's a really good soap program on tonight on TV, or I need to get to the cinema tonight and watch this, or what have you. So we all have our choice as to what we think is important. And if we're not challenged, then we are not forced to make the choice as to whether we wish to learn from that or brush it under the table. So my answer then is, actually, we would, had there been recycling with knowledge, we would be technologically wonderful. But I think actually we would have still been like children, because we would not have had the spirituality to maintain that high level of technology, and we would have recreated the situation between Atlantis and Lumeria. And one of the reasons that Atlantis and Lumeria collapsed was because those individuals hadn't been through the process that the human race is going through now. And because we're going through that, never again should brother fight brother or sister fight sister. Never again should humanity wipe itself out for simple reasons like greed or fear or anger. What we need to do is to learn our lessons and say that we can live in a world where we can supply the resources so that nobody has a monopoly and can say, you know, if you want to drink water, you have to pay me for this. Or if you want to breathe good air, you have to pay me for this. We've got a long way to go, but goodness me, we've made some really good steps. So again, I would say I'm positive, and I think we have to go through this process to come out the other end, you know, fully fledged humans.
Excellent. This is the maturation of us.
Yes.
Who is it? Arthur C. Clarke wrote Childhood's End. And this is the moment, isn't it?
Yes.
We're at the end of our spiritual childhood.
And in 2017, yes.
And, I can see people transforming, you know, literally. I'd see them 1 month and they'd look all, you know, haggard or maybe even baby faced, right? And then, now people are, it's like they're in their 30s. It's like everybody's going to be in their 30s.
Well, have I not gone through my own situation this last 2 weeks? I've seen through a deception. You know, a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, I wouldn't probably have accepted it. But I chose to see the truth, chose to be strong enough and, God help me, spiritual enough to be able to say, I need to do something about it. So nobody's too big or too clever or too important. We all have lessons to learn. The question is whether we accept those lessons and whether we can be humble about it and whether we can be open and truthful. So, you know, I'm in no doubt that I had to go through this process that I've gone through, and it was my choice in 2016 whether I would have gone public with it or whether I would have lied and tried to hide it and not go public. But, you know, and then I would have fallen at the last hurdle, as it were. You know, I would have failed in my task to be open and honest. And everyone on the planet is having his or her own challenge, his or her own moment of truth, whatever it might be. And each individual now has to choose the way forward. And that is the energy that the human race is producing, which will be sympathetic to the energy of the earth. In that, I mean, it's of the same vibrational frequency. Because we're not fleas on the back of a planet. We are the chosen living creatures that this planet is happy to have with us, with it. So in other words, you know, we can all evolve, but to do so, we each individually have to decide who we are and whether we're big enough or strong enough, emotionally, I suppose intellectually, but it's more about spirituality really than intellectuality. Spiritually able to, see through the deceit. So, you know, yeah, it can happen to all of us. And I'm really glad that it happened to me now and not, say, years hence. Because, you know, those people who have their own experiences now have got time to work them through. Because you can't just sort of snap your fingers and say, oh, good, well, I've done that now. What do I do next? These are big things. You know, and many people are going through some huge changes at the moment. And you need time to, you know, get your energy back.
That's right. It's like we've been hit by an enormous wave of transformation. And again, I've been saying this, my guides have been saying this for years, of this is coming. And, you know, when we've been talking about the, what do they call it? The Armageddon, the great uncovering. Here we are. This is Armageddon. Apocalypse. That's what, sorry. Armageddon is Har-Megiddo in Israel. Apocalypse means uncovering. And like you say, there was a covering, that etheric chemtrail we were talking about. And now it's becoming more apparent what our true history is. And this is today's quest, is the true history, and what we're all having to face in our own daily life is a version of that big question, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, I go back to what I said, 2010, and not just me, others had said it as well, that 2016, 2017 was the key dates. Now, there are other dates after that which are important, but the human race is deciding what it is and who it is. And it's 2016, 2017 that set the whole pattern for the future. 2012 was the most important marker. It was the gate. The gate got opened. We pushed the gate open. We went through it. But now we are walking on this route, and we have to decide whether we are ready to make that big step. You know, we have been entered into the arena, shall we say. Now, are we prepared to stand on the stage and play our part, whatever that part may be, however small, however big? Are we prepared to stand in front of the galactic universe, the galactic audience, and actually state who we are, what we are, and what we want? And if we are brave enough and strong enough to do that, then there is nothing that humans can't do. Absolutely nothing. And this is why those nasty, evil, horrible, I can't even bring the words, but the people who would seek to oppress us are so terrified of the human race, because the human race can outthink them, outlove them, outmaneuver them, if only the humans would actually work together. And that's what's happening. Since these last 3, 4, 5 years, the human race is actually becoming an organized consciousness. And that organized consciousness is unbreakable. And in Great Britain, whatever you voted to leave Europe or stay in Europe, that was a break with the past, with deals that had been struck that had no real connection to the human race. They were struck by greedy men who wished to make more and more money for themselves. And what happened? The impossible happened. The public voted in a way that they were not supposed to. So this is what I've said in the conference today, that the elite are losing the control they have over people. And we're going to see that more and more and more. And, you know, it can't come soon enough as far as I'm concerned. This is all meant to happen. It's all playing out. And we need to get on with it and be brave and have no fear and just know that, you know, our future is good. And, these people who at the moment are very negative have still got the chance to actually change. They still got the chance to change. So yeah, big, big times for everybody.
Sometimes it feels like I'm walking around a bomb site looking for survivors. So anyway, meanwhile, all right. So actually coming back to Daddy, from Curious George. Hi, Simon. Thank you for all you do. I enjoy your show with Simon very much. Here is my question. Simon recently had Dad removed from him. Seems to have had some kind of implant put in Simon. If Simon is so important to humanity and the Mantids are the best doctors, according to Simon, how did they miss this device? Many thanks and stay strong.
It's a really good question. There are two answers to that. First of all, the device didn't make me ill or sick. So it wasn't negative in the sense that it was affecting my health. It was negative because it was put there without my permission. It was negative because it was allowing the Dad entity to use the signature of my energy to manipulate me. That is negative. But it was also part of a process of learning. If someone comes along to a 5-year-old child and the child is trying to learn to lift a cup for the first time, and instead of helping and encouraging and supporting that child, the parent misguidedly does all the work for the child. By the time the child's 7, it doesn't actually know how to hold a cup. I'm just, you know, I know it's not obviously, but I'm just trying to show that if you do something and never let a person do it themselves, then they'll always look to you to do the job for them. And also they'll have no skills in how to actually do it. So I dare say that mum could have removed it in the blink of an eye. But what would I have learned? What would have I understood? Then I would never have pushed dad away. And that's the key point. Because what it looks like here is that I was given the choice to whether I would maintain the connection with the reptilian overlord or whether I would reject him. And had mum removed that energy hook, then the driving force that would have made me make that decision would have been removed, and I would never have had to face that choice. Because I personally had to A, identify it was there, and B, decide if I was going to remove it, left me with C, what happens next. And so I decided that it was there, it did need to be removed, and I would therefore remove this entity from my life forever. So I think it was put there from a very early age as part of a learning test, a learning process. Would I or would I not turn my back on not the reptilian culture, but on this particular entity who is very high standing, and very, very, powerful within his own field. And I had to make that choice. Nobody could sway me either way. And all that happened was that Fran brought me the information. And because I accepted that information, I then had to make that choice. So yeah, I'm sure somebody could have removed it, but I would never have gone on the journey I went on. So that's, you know, I thought about that, and that's my answer there. There's also the other possibility as well, which runs in tandem with that, which is that when my body was scanned, this was part of my body. A chameleon lizard is a lizard that can change the coloring of its skin so that it appears to blend in with the surroundings. And this energy hook had my DNA, therefore it took on the energy frequency of my body and was not easily discernible.
So we're looking at a really, and one of the other things is, number one, you have therefore learned how to remove the reptilian overlord energy, right? For sure, right? You also know how bloody sneaky they are.
Yep.
And how actually dishonorable even unto their own judgments, that is.
Well, their own people, yes.
Yeah. So that's, you know, there's multiple things that, because as you're exposing these, that's showing us, look, we don't really want to deal too much with these reptilians because they're sneaky and they're dishonorable and they're not as honorable as they say they are. That's the whole thing, isn't it? It's all this, honor and houses and bloodlines and all this stuff, but it's all just BS. Sorry, I'm just having a rant here because I just want to kill them all. Anyway, but.
But I think there's more to it. I think there's more to it because learning is not just one way, because that's not how the multiverse works. That's not how source works. Learning is both ways. When somebody is an oppressor and they oppress somebody, it's not just the oppressed that learn. It is those that oppress because they are there for a reason. They were put there for a reason. And they have their own learning journey. And this is quite hard because if you've always been kicked in the stomach, you can't really forgive. Very hard to forgive the person that kicks you in the stomach. But from a wider perspective, that individual then at some point gets caught out and they have to look back on their life and say, I have oppressed peoples for God knows how many thousands of years and look where it's got me. And learning is about you coming to a decision yourself, not someone holding a gun to your head and saying, right, make a choice, because that's not real learning. You don't buy into it. And so I hope that he's learned something from this. I hope he's understood that you can't manipulate people and work with them unless it's through love. Because if you're doing it through fear or trickery, sleight of hand, and you're duping people, well, they're not working with you because they know you fully who you are. They're working with you because they believe what they're seeing is true. Now, when that curtain's dropped and what you actually find is not what you thought, then clearly there's that, as you said, there's that deception. So there's no trust there. And I'm hoping that what he has learned or beginning to learn is that the only way you can get people to do things is if you do it fairly and it's their choice. But tricking people, well, no, that's the old saying, isn't it? Taking candy from a baby. So yeah, I don't think it's just that I have to learn from this. I think he's got to learn from it as well.
Fantastic. So, well, as again, it's a rare, it's, you know, you're a rare breed, Simon. Very rare breed. And it's showing us on a micro level what has to happen on a grand level. We have to do what you've just done on a grand level with the whole planet, don't we?
And it was very difficult for me because I have known this entity since at least 3 years old, and I'm over 50 now. And I keep saying it because people don't get it. It's never hurt me. He's never once hurt me. So what that does is builds as we know, it was a false trust. But at the time, it wasn't false. It was a trust built on the fact that this entity never harmed me. So I was never looking for trickery. I was never looking for duplicity, because it never showed me anything bad. Therefore, I didn't expect it. You know, if you have a real parent and your mother or father asks you to do something, you know, in a real loving relationship, you don't say, why are you asking me to do that? Because you just do it, because that is the bond that exists between you. And I need people, please, to understand that that there was a bond from my perspective of love and truth, but from his perspective, one of manipulation. And, you know, for all my spirituality and intelligence, I'm no way as intelligent as he is. I'm damn sight more spiritual than he is. But, you know, humans can be manipulated. Of course they can, because we are a very young race. These other races are yonks old, and they're used to it, a dab hand at tricking people. But the truth comes out in the end. And I was prepared to face it and accept it. Now, that, for me, is the key. I could have, I've already gone through this, but it's worth saying it again, I could have just denied it, done a typical politician, you know, no, 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 no. Or I could have said, oh, look, you know, I'm far too powerful. I'm far too spiritual. The energies are too high. It couldn't possibly happen to me. And then I would have fallen into the trap. I would have fallen back down into the cycle, and I would have gone down to the bottom again and had to learn my way up again. But it was right for me to, at that time, to be able to look at it and say, nope. I've got to be open. I've got to be honest. I wish to evolve. I wish to learn. No good me coming on this radio show twice a month, or standing in front of an audience, or going on television, or whatever it is, and saying, well, we need to be spiritual. You know, we need to be upfront and truthful. And then to have turned around and said, no, it's all nonsense. No, no, no. It's nothing, no truth in it. Then, you know, that would have been a lie. My whole life would have been a lie. I gave up my paid job to, help people and to be with people. That's what I did, just as you did, JP, just as countless other people do. And we do it because we passionately believe. And on our journey, it's not surprising that some of us get tricked or duped or played for a fool by creatures that are far more capable technologically and energetically than we are. But ultimately, if we believe in love and we believe in truth, these frequencies that they have can't stand against love and truth. Love and truth is something that they can't work with. And he must have been in a hell of a pain. He must have been in torment for years, because I have never done anything bad to him, and there he is tricking me and duping me. And every time he's got to sit with me, or talk to me, he knows in the back of his head that I don't know the truth about him. So he's got his own pain, he's got his own deal, and wherever he is now, because he's not actually on the planet at the moment, that's for certain, he has now got to decide what he's going to do with his life. So in a small way, what I have done has actually made him have to face, and others have been involved, I don't want people to think it's just me because I'm just one person, but I had to make that choice. I had to remove his energy hook from me. I had to say that I'm not having it. And so he's got to decide where he's going to go, what he's going to do, and what his values are. And you know what? If it kickstarts his own development, then it's all been worth it. But from my own perspective, I'm really glad I found the truth out. I'm really glad I've removed him from my life, because I've got no time for something that he could have been so wonderful, JP. He could have been brilliant. You know, to have the technology, to have the knowledge, to be billions of years old as a race, to travel the star systems, to be able to heal cancer, to be able to, you know, halt aging, to do all those things. And what does he do? He goes and tricks a 3 or 4 year old child. What a waste of all that ability. So that's what I mean by he's got to decide, does he want to go down the whirlpool and end up as nothing and go right back to the beginning? Or does he want to say that he has a place and a part to play in the developing world? And I hope he does. And we'll see how we go with it.
Thank you, Simon. Impassioned. And really, very timely. There are so many things going on right now that are a macro reflection of these choices that you are making and I'm making and we're all going through. And, as you say, this is our opportunity for expansion or opportunity to shrink away again. And there's very little, appeal to the shrinking bit anymore. Right. Okay. Sorry. I'm just looking at these things. All right, so here's an interesting question. This is from Max of Steel, not Max Steel. This is Max of Steel. He says, 3 months ago I tried to get a quick scan and he didn't get an answer, obviously, because he's busy. All right, no hard feelings, by the way. So he faced the situation by himself. He had short memory loss, anger and rage up and down. Hard time to concentrate, no more patience for small things, hard to meditate, searching for words, didn't like eye contact anymore. So one night I went into meditation as deep as I could and I spoke to whatever was around or inside me. I told him or it that I would not be afraid of it and that I would never stop fighting. That I did not know why it was there or what was his orders, but in the end I would win. Finally, I told him that he could just walk away from me and my family forever, or that I would find a way to simply destroy him. I did that for a few days and then everything came back to normal. Maybe it was not the right way to do it, but I felt that I would win that fight. It was maybe all in my head after all. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
That's the same thing we've all been talking about.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. When somebody connects with me, one of the things I try and do is to show that individual that they have all the power that they need and the codes, if you like, within themselves to do that. And I time and time again on our show, I use the analogy of the black and white movie where the priest holds the crucifix up to Count Dracula. And the priest says, "Back, back, you devil." And Dracula just laughs at him. And the reason that the crucifix has no power is because it's nothing to do with the crucifix. It's to do with the conviction and the belief of the person. If the person believes in what they are and what they're doing, they can move mountains because we can create our own reality. And so one of the things that I do with people is to actually show them that they can make this happen. And what he's done is he's not been able to connect with me. He's gone into himself. He's found that he's really powerful. He's activated himself and he's stood his ground with these negative entities, and they've seen that he's not for moving. They can't frighten him. They can't shift him. So they're going to go somewhere else. And that's what's happened. And I'm really pleased and proud of him, for believing in himself enough to convince these creatures that, that their time with him was up. So great. Good on you.
Excellent. Excellent. Well done, Max, I have to say. And I, you know, going back, because like I was saying before, you were going through your battles. He was going through, we've all been going through our own personal version of the Armageddon or the apocalypse. We're each seeing truth and we're uncovering it and we're stepping straight through it. And, everybody, you know, everybody's being brave because there's no alternative really, is there?
No, that's exactly right. It's really important because what these evil people want is the fear to be the wedge that they drive in to try to destabilize the fledgling, human in the new world. And so we mustn't give in to fear. We must recognize that there are bad people out there whose sole purpose is to keep us wrong-footed. The sole purpose is to keep us so that we can't think and meditate and question and be who we really are. So we've got to be strong. We're sick of it. You know, enough already. We need to get on, be who we are, be where we are. And frankly, those who don't want to join us, well, they just ain't good enough. You know, give them the choice, give them the chance again and again and again and again until there comes a point where the hands reach midnight. There is no more chance left. And nobody needs to feel bad or guilty because we have bent over backwards for so many people. And if they refuse to develop, that is purely their business. And we can't concentrate on them anymore. We need to look after ourselves, our families, our friends, our loved ones. And we must look after each other, we must form strong groups and go forward. And, you know, basically that's evolution. That's what happens. And those that are not meant to evolve won't, and those that are will. And that's not necessarily a Charles Darwin type survivor of the fittest. It is about choice. It's not about I'm physically stronger than you, therefore I should live. It's about who's got the most love, who's got the most understanding, who has got the most compassion, and who is prepared to share and be truthful. They're the ones that deserve to live. Those that want to steal, hurt, lie, and harm, they've got no place in the new world. So that's my philosophy anyway.
Excellent. Let's just go on to the next level, I think. In an earlier talk, you spoke of the ascension. This is from Laurie. You spoke of the ascension and the energetic battle that needs protection. How does protection work? Also, when an individual attains ascension, will it have any effect on the world situation? Now, there's an instinct. What's the use of ascension, if any?
Hello, Laurie. The word ascension is a catch-all word. I know lots of people don't like it. I use it because, to me, I know what it means. It means the human race moving to a place that it was always destined to be in. And each person that makes a choice not just changes themselves and the family or the people around them, but it sends out an energy frequency across the dimensional barriers that have a negative or a positive effect upon those other groups. We're all interconnected. And as we advance, and we are advancing, then we are showing others that we are worth the candle, as we say in Britain. In other words, we're worth the effort. You know, if we just sat in our armchairs and said, well, you know, do it all for us, well, people would soon get very tired of us. So by getting off the armchair, by doing something positive, whatever that might be, doesn't have to be a great big thing. It can be a small thing, but it's about love. If you do something for love, you don't want anything back. And I do something which may look a bit contrived, but I do it for the YouTube audience and most of my conferences. I go and buy some little presents, usually minerals, or if I've got some DVDs that I've got two of, and I give them away. Now, if I'm fundraising, then I'll have a raffle, a lottery. But I make it very clear that that's what I'm doing. But in most cases, I just give these presents away. And what I'm doing is making a statement that if you give something, then we shouldn't always expect something in return. And I use it because this is a 3D world. So if I give a piece of amethyst away or a piece of rose quartz or something, then I'm giving it because I wish to give it. And it's not the shop where I give the shopkeeper some coins or some paper money, and then the shopkeeper gives me what I wanted. That's an exchange. But a free gift is a free gift of love. And every time we do that, then we push the pendulum towards the light side or the good side, just a fraction more. And that's what we should all be about. We can change the perceptions of the world. We really, really can. But we need people to believe in it. So it's a really good question. And the answer is yes. Every good thing you do pushes the balance towards the positive.
Awesome. Because there's a reason for this, and we are able to manifest the solution to all the issues that we have, but we just need to see what the issues are first. And that's the bit, because we get freaked out. This is the thing with humans. We get freaked out too easily because we've been traumatized over and over and over again.
Yes.
And nobody realizes it. And this is where I'm going to on the show. So stay tuned, everybody. I'm going to look deeply into myself to see if we can find solutions to the big problem. And yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens. So Simon, sorry, you were going to say something?
No, I'm saying that, I think that you have a unique perspective to bring on that, JP. And I won't be listening, not because I'm not interested, but simply because, I've done, you know, been down to London and back.
Yeah, you must be exhausted.
But I would be very interested, and I will listen to it when it goes onto YouTube. So I won't listen to it live, but I will definitely be listening to it recorded.
No
problem. Because that's something that I could you send me a link or something?
Yeah, yeah, sure, I will.
I might like that. That would be brilliant. Thanks.
Excellent. So, alright, music, jazz. 528. Rise and Shine. From Rise and Shine. Hello, Simon. I'm a CC member from Canada. I've seen a lot of audio video lately featuring the 528 frequency that may be used for raising your own frequency, repairing your DNA, etc. Some contain, quote, helpful subliminal messages in this regard. Do you consider these beneficial? Do they work? Or is this something we should be wary of?
Right. When I talk to people, I always say you do have to have discerning judgment. If it genuinely is of the human or the earth frequency, then it is very positive. It depends what your soul group is. If you are a soul group that is deeply connected to the earth, then meditation with the human frequency can only be positive, because it is connecting. All human creatures can benefit from the human frequency. You can't successfully live on this planet unless you are connected to the female divine energy. So it doesn't matter if you're a male being, you do have to have some feminine in you to connect, because the planet is feminine. What we have to watch out for are black ops, where people might try and put a fake website out there pretending it's the right frequency. You know, so you do have to have discernment. And if you have someone who's a musician in the family or a friend, get them to listen to it. Is that the right frequency? If you're in any doubt, do that. But it is very helpful. Anything that connects us to her, the earth, is positive. I'll give you an example. Today, coming back from the conference, it was very hot, and the traffic was horrible, so stopped off at a service station. And I've forgotten what it's like in the south of England, and absolutely full of people. And the noise level, it was awful. The people's, the noise, shouting, the clinking of cups, it was just awful. And what I did was go out, cross over the road, and there were some picnic benches under the trees. And standing in the shade of the trees with the beautiful sunlight coming through the leaves, the dappling effect, the beautiful shimmering, and being connected to the earth and the trees, and then looking across to this god-awful monstrosity of a service station and hundreds of cars polluting the air, moving, and just look at the difference. And, you know, thinking 1,000 years ago, it would all have been forest. It wouldn't have all been these horrible, god-awful structures, and people were far more connected to the planet. Well, we've got to get that back. We've got to get back connected to the feminine energy of the earth, and men out there don't need to be frightened of the feminine energy. That's that we can't afford to be scared of it, because it's us, it's our mother, if you like. It's who we are as well. It doesn't mean you're not masculine. It means that you are balanced. If you're not connected to the feminine energy and you're a male, then you are off balance. So we need to understand that we need to be in symbiotic relationship with the planet. So this is why the whole thing's got to change. You know, we can't go on like this. It's just a nonsense. So we have to change everything. Otherwise we won't be in balance and we won't be truly happy. How can you be happy in a queue of 50 people waiting for a slice of pizza that's probably going to give you food poisoning? Or, can't dare say the name, but something Scottish, that's named after Donald, and, you know, wondering what will happen if I eat that. We've got to change and we've got to learn, but ultimately, we'll only do it if we really want to. So if we are still trapped in this, oh, I've got to go to work at 9 o'clock and I've got to do this and I've got to, and I'm so scared that this will happen and I'm so frightened, my boss is really angry with me, and, you know, victimization is what the system does to us. And those days have got to go. Can't afford to be like that. And, you know, people may say, oh, Simon, those are lovely words, but, you know, that's not the real world. But it is. We need to believe in it. You know, I know people who have had diseases that were on the verge of killing them, and they self-healed, or they got in healers who did it. Now, how did they do it? They did it because they believed they could. And if the human race believes, excuse me, believes that it's worth better than this, then that's exactly what will happen.
Impassioned, again.
Yeah,
it's deep today. It's deep.
Well, I've changed.
I know.
I've lost a controlling element from me, which means that I've been far more connected to my human side.
Excellent.
Which is the Agathan element.
And have you been like standing outside looking at the sky in awe and wonder? I mean, I'm not being sarcastic here, because it's a magnificent place we live on, and we can sometimes miss that.
I haven't, because that's always, that wasn't what was hidden from me. What has changed is that the colors I'm seeing. I am seeing colors as I did as a small boy.
Really?
So the green of the trees and the green of the grass is actually now a more vibrant green. And also depth and perception has changed. So I'm seeing much more in 3D. So I'm remembering now, when I was a very small boy, that is a thrill I got when I saw a beautiful blue sky or a beautiful green field or something that just stood out. I got the same about 2 to 3 days. I got used to it. But basically, I did go through a relearning process.
Well, I'm sure everybody's going to want to hear more about this transformation. Likewise, there are things that are going on that I'm much more in tune with. And now, that begs the question, Simon. If now you are able, or you have perceived this hook, does that mean you're able to perceive it in others too? And you were saying, all right, well, I can see colors better. Well, that's interesting. I've been colorblind all my life. Could that be something to do with that? Is colorblindness something to do with this, or is that something else?
I'm not qualified to say. I don't know, but yes, I know what I'm looking for now. and this is interesting. When I went to do my talk at the High Elms in Watford, the guy there who was offering healings, and an interesting situation which we won't talk about developed live in front of the audience, and everyone was sort of looking to me, you know, like, well, what's going on? And my take was, well, I'm not going to get involved, but he's just offered a free healing. I'm going to go and get a healing from him and just see what he's like. And I did, and he was very genuine. And he was doing the healing. He knew all about me. And he started at my feet with the healing, worked his way up. And his comment exactly was, "Oh, they've had a good old go at your lower chakras." To which I replied, "Well, I could have told you that." And then he got to my heart and he said in a quite surprised voice, Oh, you've got a good heart. And then again, "Oh, you have got a good heart." And then interesting, what I didn't know, he said, "Oh, your thyroid's been affected. They've been playing with your thyroid." So, it was quite interesting because he was a healer who had only ever heard stuff from me on the internet, never met me person, and was a bit nervous of meeting me. And then when he met me, he saw who I was and actually has invited me to go down to the house and, you know, have a cup of tea with him. So he actually congratulated me on removing Dad, because he said, you know, it was only something that you could do. It had to be you, and it had to be your choice. So, yeah, I suppose a new page is opened in the book. And I'm excited to see what I'm going to write on it.
Wow. Yes, what a journey. What a journey, eh? Now, where are we? It's nearly, well, that's probably about time for the show, Simon, today. It's been, as I said, quite impassioned and deep and profound. And
yeah,
it's appropriate entirely for this impassioned, deep and profound week where we're all experiencing stuff. And I just wanted to say one thing about the whole Max Spears situation. Is I believe that they're trying to manipulate our emotions. They're trying to break our heart. And we have to realize that our hearts are soft. They can't be, you can't break that. It will stretch it. We can expand our heart to accommodate this and know that people are eternal. And maybe he'll be back sooner than we think.
Mm.
Who knows? You never know in the super soldier world, do you?
You don't. And it's a world that, you know, people are discovering more and more about. So listen, JP, God bless to you. Lovely to speak to you and lovely to speak to the audience and obviously all the people who watch the show on YouTube. It's been a heck of a week. But my goodness me, worthwhile. So on that note, I'll just say good night and, you know, hope your next session is really good and I will listen to it if you send me a link.
Thank you so much, Simon. Where is your outro? There it is. Good night.